information. And of course, everybody's favorite, the help icon is always there. You know, I thought that this was a cute reminder to the trainees in case they should ever run into trouble. But I also considered what that would mean for us. See, if you've ever gotten lost or couldn't navigate through tough situations, you know the one thing you could always do is return home. If you've ever been confused by what life has thrown at you, oftentimes your first instinct is to return to something that's familiar, which is often home. If you've ever felt a need to reset or just need to get away from some of the stress, there could always be found some refuge at home. Now, for those who glance in the bulletin, please note that the title of the lesson, not the command, for you to follow now is Go Home. There's a song, some of you just got that, I heard to laugh. There's a song that we sing, thank you, Austin, that we sing that says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Will you pray with me at this time? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you've blessed us to see this day. We're thankful that you have brought us together as your children and as brothers and sisters, one of another, to hear another portion of your word. Lord, I pray that you will use me in the way that you see fit, that through the words that are spoken this evening, that we will have a greater understanding of your word and your will in our lives and strive to draw closer unto you. Father, we ask that you will bless each and every person that is in the audience, that you will help us to be good listeners, that will remove all those distractions that may be in our hearts and our minds at this time and focus in on the things that you would have us to learn. So bless us now, Father, and keep us through this service. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Christians, it's imperative that we truly understand that this world we live in is not our home. You know, when God made us, he intended that his children would forever live with him, and that choice would be ours by surrendering our will to his will. See, God made a twofold promise. One, this world is temporary and it will pass away. He guaranteed us that. But two, that he will call his children to live with him in an eternal world. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, also 13 and 14 reads, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. In verse 13, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blemish. You know, God wants us to choose to come to him, and he will bring his children home. So when we're lost and confused, frustrated and devastated, feeling overworked and underappreciated, feeling too many are against you and very few are for you, know that God is waiting for you to be home with him. If you're happy and content, and every green light on the road of life is turning green for you, if others seem to struggle with things that God has made clear and straight for you, the house to the left and the right may be hit by the storms, but you are untouched, then congratulations. But guess what? The same God is still waiting for you to be home with him. I want us to consider a few things about home that should encourage us to always be focused on that home. By the way, this is not a message to our young ones to want to stay in our parents' house for the rest of your life? You know, I recall Ajani once saying, you know, Mommy, I'm never going to leave home. And I remember Val smiling and gave her a hug and said, you know, that's so sweet. And you could almost read the bubble over her head if she didn't actually say it out loud. Yes, you will. To bring home the point about home, I want us to consider three phrases that may be familiar, but to see it from a biblical perspective so that we can hopefully benefit from it. The first one, you may have heard this before, the longest way around is the shortest way home. This idiom, which is, you know, maybe not as well known, but it means that often being careful and moving deliberately will give you the results you desire, rather than rushing through and making mistakes which lead to having to do it all over again. You know, in other words, it may seem like it would take longer to read the directions and move slower, but it's better than rushing and doing it over and over again because of the mistakes. You know, often when my mom, she would have to remind me to stop rushing through my homework and just, I would rush through so I can hurry up and get outside and play. That was back in the time, some of our older members may know, when we actually went outside to play, right? I couldn't wait to get outside, so I would rush through my homework, and I'd make all kinds of mistakes. Well, guess what? She would look at me, or my older brothers and sisters would look at me, and they'd say, that's not right. You're going to have to do that over again. And I'd find myself spending more time doing something over and over again to get it right than just trying to take my time and do it right the first time. You know, our society today encourages the shortcuts. You know, the faster, the better. In a Twitter 140 character or less world, what is often missed are the nuances and the details. Many receive their news through these Twitter feeds, and the lack of depth of understanding to truly have an informed decision, you know, yet feel as if they are well informed. Now consider our spiritual walk. Do we take time to get deep into God's word? Or is it a five-minute snippet, or a five-minute snippet enough to say, yeah, well, I've studied for the day? Do we look at Sunday morning, and half of us who come back on Sunday evening, and Wednesday night as our time with God and the saints, and that's it? Do we still reference a service event that we did a few years ago and describe it as our current Christian service? Better question, are we, or should we be, surprised when we have some spiritual struggles, even though we don't often take the time to search the scriptures daily for our strength? See, we may not have murderers in our midst, but we do have some who may have hatred in their hearts toward another human being. You know, I've seen some very, unfortunately, some very cringeworthy comments on Facebook about others that, if seen by a stranger, would really be surprised that person posting is really a Christian. We may not have thieves in our midst, but we do have some who may have envy to the point where we are resentful toward someone because of what they have. We may not have adulterers in our midst, but do we have lust in our hearts? We may not have idols with candles around them at home, but do we chase money or position or power to the point where it becomes a god to us? See, when we choose to take shortcuts with God, we can find ourselves in these kind of positions. The Bible teaches that we must first submit to God, James 4 and 7. This submission is not a one-time act or a quick act that properly draws us to him. It does not mean getting a verse of the day on our cell phones, reading it for a minute, but rather it must be part of who we are. If we want to make heaven our home, we have to submit to God. Because that's what leads to that second part of that scripture. Resist the devil and he will flee. You know, oftentimes we like to use the second part without first seeing the first part. If we can't submit to God, you're going to have a hard time resisting the devil. The devil, by the way, is too good, and he's been doing it for too long, those things that he does, to think that we can defeat him on our own. You know, to enter in at the straight gate requires a level of commitment. So submitting to God requires a level of commitment. And to make it home requires a longer, meaning our lifetime, commitment. But guess what? It is the surest way to make it. So the longest way round is often the shortest way home. That's one thing that we may have heard before. Another one I want us to consider is one that's probably a little more familiar. Home is where the heart is. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, there will always be a spot in our hearts for home, right? Unfortunately, we don't always look at heaven as being home, but rather, you know, have our mail sent to a resident that's only temporary. I'll explain that in a moment. In other words, we can spend time focusing on gathering to build our homes here when eventually we're going to have to leave it. You know, when I went off to college, I ate, slept, socialized, worked, made friends, built relationships, had mail sent to and sent mail from my school. However, when someone asked me where my home was, I quickly responded, Seattle. Even when I was physically 3,000 miles away, my connection to home remained. You know, I cast my first ballot. It was absentee ballot in the state of Washington. You know, my license, my driver's license still had Washington on it. It was Washington issued. You know, my family who supported and encouraged me, they were in Washington. When I thought of a home-cooked meal, I didn't really consider the dining hall. My heart was focused on home. So what about when we consider our vote? Not the vote for political figures, but making a stand and speaking out on our position. Are we casting it from a heavenly perspective or earthly? 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know, when someone looks at our license and our citizenship, do they see this earth or heaven? Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship, a conversation in another translation, is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we gain our support and our encouragement? Do we draw from the world's encouragement or from heavenly support? Hebrews 12:1, Hebrews 10:24-25. When we are strongest, is it because of the great meal that was prepared for us to fill our bellies? Or are we like Christ and recognize that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Matthew 4:4. Bottom line is this. Is our heart directed toward heavenly things? When our heart is inclined to heaven, you know, life takes on a new perspective. When our heart is in heaven, things and people that used to bother us lose their hold on us. 1 Corinthians 15:55. When our heart is in heaven, there is joy in persecution and temptation, James 1:2. When our heart is in heaven, we will thirst for righteousness and be satisfied, Matthew 5:6. When our heart is in heaven, we can draw near with full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10:22. Church, home is where the heart is. When our heart is at home with God, the life we live will not be free from heartache and trials, but it will be full of spiritual perspective, knowing we can make it through whatever comes our way, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. You know, there is no temptation. The Bible speaks on this. There is no temptation that can overtake us when our heart is in heaven. Did you know that? Because God is faithful, and the Bible says God is faithful, will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, and he provides an escape so that we can endure it, 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know, that's why we can trust the psalmist when he writes, create in me, O Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, Psalms 51:10. When our heart is aligned with God, our home is where God is. Then we find ourselves rejoicing in all things because the master of the home is still in charge. So we recognize that home is where the heart is. And, you know, there are many scripture or many phrases that we can talk about with home, you know, home sweet home and all these others. But, you know, rules of three for comedy and preaching, right? So the last one I want to discuss is a phrase we all should be familiar with. There's no place like home. Think about Dorothy. Her first exposure to Oz was that she had a bunch of little admirers and was given some fresh kicks, right? Some shoes. She faced some evil along the way, but also met some who she cared about in the short term while she was with them. She embarked on an exciting adventure and overcame adversities in a magical land. Everything was brand new and stimulating, but she never forgot that there was no place like home. You know, whether she was following it or just easing on down it, there was a path that was laid out for her, and she stayed on it because it was her way to get back home. You know, today, there are many paths that we can take, but there is only one that leads us home to our Father in heaven. So no matter how many times we say we know where we're going, the Bible still says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Ladies, stop me if you've heard this one before. I don't need a map. I know where I'm going. Or maybe, in fact, I even know a shortcut. Right? If you're looking for that shortcut, see point number one in this lesson. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. You know, Jesus says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth, Matthew 7 and 14. But he also says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Consider for a second how they tried to describe, or how we see in the book of Revelation, how they tried to describe heaven. Revelation 21, how it had walls of jasper in verse 18. The foundation of the wall garnished with all manners of precious stones, verse 19 and 20. Streets as of pure gold, as it were, transparent glass, verse 21. No temple because God and Jesus were the temple, verse 22. No need for the sun or moon to shine because the glory of God lighted, verse 23. With all of this, you know what? It was still just a feeble attempt to try to describe the indescribable. Truly, there is no place like home. When all the tears from this life shall be wiped away, Revelation 7 and 17, because there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, Revelation 21, 4, we will know that there is no place like home. When we receive the inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1 and 4, we will be able to truly say there is no place like home. When men hate and separate from your company and reproach you, cast out your name as evil, as is so often the case we see in our society today where everything goes except for Christianity, we can still leap for joy, for behold, our reward is great in heaven, Luke 6, 22 and 23, and we can say there is no place like home. Let me share something with you. I love you all. I enjoy my time with the saints and the children of God. However, in a moment, we'll sing, we'll give our closing prayer, and I'll look forward to going home. Now, some of the deacons are over there going, not so fast, we have a meeting tonight. But even as much as I enjoy my family and being home with them, there's going to be one day when another closing takes place. And I'll look forward to really going home. What a day of rejoicing that will be. We sing the song, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory. You know, this may seem like a long road to travel, this Christian walk, but hopefully your heart is already there in heaven and waiting for your body to catch up, because there's truly no place like home. But we must make our call and election sure. You know, only children of God can call heaven home. So we have to ask ourselves, is that my permanent residence? Am I just waiting to get there? Or is there something that I need to do? Do I need to have a change of address? Well, you can do that tonight. If you're not a Christian, if you're not part of God's family, if your name is not listed on that roll, if heaven is not your home, you can change that. You must first hear the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Believe it with all your heart and repent. Turn from where you have been going and turn toward God. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. You live faithfully, you can have that confidence of knowing that heaven is my home and there is no place like home. Perhaps you've gotten a little tied up in this earth, this temporary place of residence, and you've forgotten that I have a home after this. You know, this life is but a vapor that vanishes away so quickly. But we recognize that there's something that's going to be eternal, that heavenly home that we can spend with God. But somewhere along the line, we've forgotten that. If you have that feeling and you need to turn back to God, you need to ask for prayers for yourself or for others. We want to invite you to do that. So whatever your need is, at the end of the day, we want to make heaven our home. Please do what you need to do as we stand and sing.